Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we got this grisly situation here where someone's really trying to hang themselves. Not just the traditional way, but letting the motor vehicle help out.
I don't know too much about suicide, thankfully. But, I mean, I know we shouldn't make light of this. You know, when it comes to suicide and attempted suicide, you know, or a call for help, you know, I mean, the people who really want to kill themselves, you know, don't go through this process usually of, you know, of a cry for help. They just do it. They go away and just do it. That is the one bizarre aspect of all these Marconi deaths, is that the suicides were so weirdly elaborate. You know, if you're going to do it, why not just get a knife out the drawer, sit on the bed or lay on the bed and do it, you know, or hang yourself just with a piece of rope? Why go to these extraordinary and bizarre ways of doing it? That isn't something you very often see, you know. I mean, and like I said, going back to that one with the guy in the car in the garage, I mean, why would you even think about lying underneath the car when you're about to kill yourself?
So, well, maybe he didn't. That's the whole point. Maybe somebody, well, you know, yes, put him there.
That is the whole point. You know, most of those deaths were very, very suspicious. And just the sheer number of them, you know, sort of close to 36 people from the early 70s to the early 90s. I mean, it was just a very, very strange situation. And then, weirdly, it all stopped. And, of course, in a way at least, it was resurrected in the early 2000s when you had numerous dozens of people working in the microbiology realm who were found dead. Microbiologists all around the world were dropping like flies from around about 2001 to about 2007. And some of them still occur to this day, you know, and those deaths are equally weird. You know, people jumping off bridges, again, suicides with cars, but again, where there was an odd aspect to it. So, you know, you do have to wonder, if are these just really bizarre suicides, or were they, you know, some sort of sophisticated assassination squads, maybe?
You know, we hear that argument also with regard to some of the notorious deaths in the UFO field. M.K. Jessup, of course, the case for the UFO, the Philadelphia experiment, all that stuff, and also Dr. James McDonald.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jessup's a classic one. I mean, he was found in 1959 in a park in Florida. A body was found late in the afternoon when one of the security personnel at the park happened to see the car running, you know, and with the tube going from the car, etc. And, you know, his story is a really weird one because leading up to his death, he had some really weird things going on. He had a strange car crash where his car sort of went into the side of the road into a ditch, and he couldn't figure out how or why he'd done that. And that actually parallels some of the scientists and personnel in the Marconi stories. There's one case where the driver, the scientist, actually had this really weird, like a compulsion to actually drive across the highway onto the other side, you know, and meet the other traffic coming at like 70 miles an hour and kill himself. And he had to really fight not to do it, and he couldn't figure out why he was doing it. That actually happened with Jessup as well, that he had an accident before he died when he was driving. The car went into the road and he was pretty badly injured, and and then it affected his married life as well, and they split up. And but the night before he died, he was speaking with a friend of his, Manson Valentine, and they agreed to meet for lunch the next day. And Jessup said he got some really cool new information he wanted to share, and it was kind of intimated it was connected to the Philadelphia experiment, maybe. But then the next day he was found dead, you know, in his car. So, you know, another weird one. And that's the thing about so many of these. They're all weird. They're never, I can't say that there's ever like a straightforward suicide. It must be, you know, terrible for somebody when they're thinking of, you know, their last seconds, how they're going to do it. You know, but with all these cases, it's always intricate and, you know, just no need. The kind of scenarios you would think you wouldn't go through. You just wanted to get it over and done with.
Yeah, like just way too theatrical for normalcy. Yeah, pretty bizarre. Yeah, there's been physicists that's been happening to also, and you know, people think maybe that's connected in some way to the attempts for the Middle East to get nuclear power, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, who knows for sure? I mean, there was, you know, Karen Silkwood. That we have her run off the road as well. But, I mean, who would be the prime suspects then in this case with Florence? Would it be the communists? Because they did, you know, maybe she ran across one of them and was going to out them or something? Or?
Well, I mean, it's always difficult to say, you know, when it comes to things like assassinations, I mean, it's always difficult to put the full picture together. That's why so many books are still written on the Kennedy assassination or, you know, serial killers like Jack the Ripper, that kind of thing, where some people say there's sort of conspiracy surrounding that and the royal family as well. So, I mean, if a lot of these were assassinations, then I guess it points down to one thing, that being whoever's doing the assassinating is extremely skilled at their job, you know. I mean, for example, there's been rumors for years about James Forrestal, the first Secretary of Defense, who lost his life when he fell or was pushed or jumped, however you want to see it, out of the one of the floors of the Bethesda Hospital in the United States. And, you know, he fell to his death, jumped to his death, pushed to his death, whichever way you want to go with it. But, you know, there have been rumors for years that supposedly he was on the verge of revealing what he knew about the UFO subject, which apparently had plunged him into sort of a state of almost like a complete mental collapse, you know, a complete nervous breakdown. And the theory is there were concerns that he was going to blow the whistle to everybody, the media, the public, about what he knew. And then, of course, it never happened because, you know, he fell from that the 10th floor, and just felt, you know, he fell to the concrete and died. You know, if you're going to fall that, you know, that far, you're not going to survive it. And of course he didn't. But, you know, the Forrestal story is one of the earliest ones, you know, that kind of typifies what we see a lot of today, sort of mysterious deaths in ufology.
The thing I wonder about, too, if someone is going to cause these things to happen, they're hitmen, women, whatever it is, wouldn't they try to stage these deaths in a way that they go unnoticed? They die in their sleep. Something that wouldn't be so theatrical.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is a very good point. And there doesn't seem to be any real logical reason why you would go to those lengths, particularly if you wanted to have it look like a suicide, you know, or an accident. I guess the only other way to look at it is that they're deliberately done like that to really confuse things. So if somebody, you know, tries to investigate it and they find all these weird threads and aspects, that might make it actually more difficult to solve the riddle rather than just make it look like a, you know, a straightforward suicide. But yeah, you're right. I mean, whether it's done deliberately or not, so many of these deaths are memorable in a very bad and negative way because of the horrific nature of so many of them, particularly with the Marconi ones.
Let's break here, guys. Okay. Nick, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I'm wondering here, Nick Redfern, if another possibility that these deaths are staged this way to warn off others. Be careful what you do, because you may be next.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's possible. I mean, if you look, for example, at the whole Men in Black phenomenon, and particularly in the 50s and the 1960s, I mean, you know, one of the big issues of the whole Men in Black phenomenon is that the MIB would threaten the lives of people who've had profound UFO encounters. And certainly, again, in the 50s and 60s, you know, you got people like Gray Barker and then Brad Steiger and John Keel talking about the dangerous nature of the MIB, you know, well, maybe at least some of that was sort of circulated deliberately to push people away from ufology, you know, and to have them live in fear, you know, not necessarily kill them, but just get the word out there that, hey, you know, we can do this, we can do that, we can do anything to you. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's, over the years in ufology, there have been various and highly alternative ways to essentially make people walk away from ufology. I mean, Albert Bender, the first guy to talk about the Men in Black, I mean, he quit ufology and was gone. You know, he was like just, you know, the tires squealing on the highway kind of thing, you know, and he was done with it all as a result of these MIB encounters that he had. Yeah, I think there's numerous various ways to get people in ufology out of ufology, you know, and the ones who might basically say, I'm not going to listen to this, I'm going to do my own thing, maybe, you know, they could end up in the worst case scenario.
But these can't be like our own people doing this, do you think? It seems like with the MIB, there's two separate factions. Like, you've got the FBI guys that went around in their black suits and hats and everything, and they were just doing background checks on people and stuff like that. And then you've got these weird ones that look really strange and seem to be able to do, you know, mysterious vanishing acts and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's no doubt. I mean, I've done several books on the Men in Black, and there's no doubt that there are two categories of Men in Black. You've got some, which I think what happened in the 50s and through the 60s was that the government knew that there were these weird MIB sort of going around and threatening people. And I actually believe that the government did not know and probably still doesn't know who these weird MIB are. But I think they realized, well, hey, if we adopt the same kind of imagery as them, you know, we can silence the people we want silenced, you know, we can just terrify them. So maybe they really did put on the black suits and the black fedoras, but they did it for the effect, even if they didn't really know who the real MIB were. So, you know, you've got the government's MIB and you've got the original pale, skinny, bulging-eyed, weird-looking MIB, which could come from who knows where. So, again, a lot of this relates to, you know, the sort of the psychological aspect. And I think that's why so many of the researchers in the 60s, you know, they would get these weird hang-up phone calls in the dead of night, you know, at Point Pleasant when Keel was out there. And you know, it was just a bizarre situation. People would wake up in the middle of the night with a phone ringing and panicking somebody's died, you know, and they go to the phone at 3 a.m. and there's weird squeaking noises and electronic bleeps. And I think, you know, it's very easy to destabilize people, particularly in a field like ufology, which is filled with, you know, a heck of a lot of paranoia to start with. It's really easy, I think, to affect the mindset of people in ufology.
I wonder, with regard to Gray Barker, though, how much of what Gray Barker wrote was just stuff he made up to seem conspiratorial? Well, I mean, at one time he had the fake feud with Jim Moseley. Jim Moseley must be some government spy.
Yeah, well, Barker was an interesting and intriguing character, but he was also, you know, sort of a flawed and strange character as well. There's no doubt whatsoever that Gray Barker was an extremely good writer. You know, he's a very atmospheric writer. But and some of his original work, his first early works, you know, it was just straightforward as it was. But to essentially you know, make the stories more exciting. For example, this is hypothetical here, but, you know, kind of you would change. Let's say somebody saw a UFO and it was on a nice, bright summer's day. He would change it to like a dark and stormy night with the clouds shooting across the, you know, the skies and the owls hooting, you know. And he would do that for effect. But you could also make the case that what he was doing was actually lying. Or it was kind of perhaps more along the lines of what Hunter S. Thompson did, you know, with gonzo journalism, where Thompson would tell a real story, but he would distort it for just, you know, hysterical, funny, you know, amusing, outrageous reasons, you know. So I kind of view Barker as like a ufological version of Hunter S. Thompson in terms of creating like a gonzo type of journalism. But the fact is that doesn't help us when we learn that Barker fabricated stuff or exaggerated. It makes you think, well, which parts of the story are true and which ones aren't true. Barker is someone who you have to be very careful about when it comes to his stories and his claims, unless you just want kind of like, you know, some sort of late night yarn, you know, around, you know, the woods and whatever. So that's my take on Barker. But I think, you know, his work was influential. If all the MIB stories were coming from Barker, I'd be concerned that, you know, he created the whole thing. But, I mean, we have to remember that Barker only wrote his book on the subject, They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, which came out in 1956. We have to remember that there were reports before, like Bender's, which it prompted Barker to write about them. And, of course, you know, I still get a lot of MIB cases sent to me today. So I think it's a genuine phenomenon, but Barker didn't help anybody by, you know, creating fabricated stories and, you know, bending the stories and gonzoing up the stories as well.
Yeah, they call that docufiction. And you know, I tend to think that a lot of that is what Willie Streber is doing as well. You know, he's a horror writer. He's good at creating a scene. And I just personally think that there's probably a healthy dose of that going on in his work as well, too. What do you think?
Before we answer that question, we have to break in a moment, and then we'll talk about Willie Streber, whether or not he's fabricating all or some of it. Just going back to Gray Barker before we split, I knew Gray for a number of years, and I think he missed his calling. He could have become a really, really good fiction writer. You know, horror fiction, sci-fi, missed his calling, too bad. Gene Randall, Nick, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A Red Cross official says water is covering roads in flood-hit northeastern Oregon, and they're finally starting to recede. that will allow residents who've been evacuated to return home and check out the damage. Pendleton Police Chief Stuart Roberts says several places were really swamped.
Primarily it was two trailer parks and then some adjacent single-family dwelling homes. The number has not been verified, but somewhere around 200 compromised by high water, anywhere from 6 to 4 feet.
Also, many roads are still closed by landslides, flooding, and fallen trees in parts of Washington state. In Wuhan, China, the first American has died from the coronavirus. The official death toll there has risen to 780 people. This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So Randall expressing his suspicions that all or some of what Whitley Strieber presents as fact with regard to his abductions may be made up. Nick?
Well, I mean, personally, I would sort of go the other way. I don't think that is the case. And, I mean, I'll sort of go with Communion, you know, which was his first nonfiction UFO book, which came out in 1987. You know, within that book, you know, Strieber's sort of wide open, you know, and very open how he talks about these events and how he actually said in the books, you know, in his books, he wasn't sure, you know, which part of his memories were correct. Now, call me wrong if you think I'm wrong, but I don't think that somebody who wants to get across, you know, a profound UFO event, would they actually say, well, I can't really be sure which, you know, memories are true or what, you know, or how the story's played out. But as I see it, and to his credit, Strieber did do that. And, you know, I think the big difference between that and hoaxers tend to have a story where they say, yes, this is what happened and this is how it happened and these are the dates it happened. They want it all nailed down perfect. But Strieber was like, you know, I'm sure you remember from Communion, you know, he talked about some things where his memories were blurred, which essentially creates like a sense of, it might create doubt in some people's minds. To me, it was as if, you know, Strieber was coming across with speaking honestly, saying, hey, I actually don't know the answers to all this. And yes, my memories are muddled, you know.
Right. Okay. But that's not what I'm getting. I'm not trying to say he's hoaxing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is that because perhaps his mind didn't have a clear recollection of what was actually going on, being a fiction writer and being of a creative mind, you know, how you were saying that, you know, Barker would take a day if it was a nice blue day and they turn it into a spooky night. Well, we've got a horror writer here who's not sure about his memories. And I could see how it could be really easy for him to fill in a lot of blanks with what he wanted it to be as opposed to necessarily what it was. And there is a lot of imagery that he uses and descriptiveness in his storytelling, in all of his books.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess on this one we're gonna have to sort of differ. But I mean, you know, that makes it for a good debate. You know, I mean, one of the reasons I won't go into all the details because it's a long, convoluted story. But in one of his books, he actually talks about something that's happened to me and which I've never really told anybody about. And it was an identical situation and a really weird situation. And so for that reason, that's one of the main reasons why I don't think he's made it up. And I know that sounds a little bit sort of filled with intrigue and, like, you know, dangling a carrot in front of people and say, oh, what's the story? You know, it is sort of a long and drawn out story, but it's just involves one weird situation, and it was identical to something that I had when his second book came out, Transformation, in 1988. So that's really the reason why, you know, I take the view that I do.
Well, that's fair enough. It's certainly in ufology, there's no shortage of imaginative stories, all the way down to completely factual reports done by people who are attempting to write actual reports, not a book for public consumption that is in any way meant as entertainment. I see with Stryber that there's both going on. He wants to write books that people will buy and will sell, and he wants to make them interesting. Maybe it's just the fact that he is a fiction writer that he comes across that way, but that his memories are accurate of what happened and he's not embellishing anything. Personally, I kind of doubt it, but it's all pretty interesting.
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, that's why, you know, I mean, it makes a good, you know, discussion because, as I said, you know, I for various reasons, I do think Whitley is telling the truth. But, you know, you've got your sort of approach to it as well, and I think that demonstrates how we address these issues, you know, I think it's actually good to have, you know, this kind of debate rather than just everybody just nodding your head at this and nodding your head at that. I mean, that doesn't get us anywhere, really, you know.
Something you mentioned a little bit earlier when you said, you mentioned the woods, and I wanted to go back to a couple of your books because this one caught my attention, called There's Something in the Woods. And you now the forest is a spooky place to begin with, especially if you're out there all by yourself. And I used to work out in the middle of nowhere. It can get really weird sometimes. And so I thought this sounded really interesting. And at one point here, it says that you actually kind of offered yourself up as bait or something like this. So did you go out in the woods and try to have a weird experience or what happened?
Well, I mean, there's nothing new or sort of secret about that. I mean, I've done a lot of, performed like a lot of rituals in sort of like chaos magic and ritual magic. You know, I was reading Aleister Crowley when I was like 13. Yeah, I mean, I don't shy away from that. I've performed a lot of ritualistic events, shall we say, over the years to, you know, achieve an ending for whatever the purpose of the ritual might be. And, you know, I've been heavily influenced over the years by people like John Dee and particularly Crowley and Jack Parsons, you know, and followed a lot of their ritualistic experiment, shall we say. So, yeah, I mean, I've done that a lot of times, you know, to try and summon up supernatural entities, you name it, you know, altered states, the whole thing.
Have you had any success?
Well, I mean, well, this is where, you know, people become divided. You know, when you talk about seeing something or hearing something, you know, is it actually a result of the experiment, or is it due to, you know, something that, you know, so may have altered your mindset, that's, you know, sort of, possibly even create something out of the mind, you know, the form, like a thought form, the tulpa, you know, the idea that the human mind can sort of externalize something which then takes on its own independent existence, you know. So, but, you know, this is not something that I hide, you know, it's something that I'm quite open and happy, you know, to talk about, you know, things like ritualistic magic, chaos magic, you know, the whole scene, so to speak. And, yeah, I've written about that in several of my books, and also how this can create what I call like a psychic backlash. You know, you delve too deeply in these sort of different other realms, so to speak. And, you know, they kind of realize or see that you're seeing them, and they, you know, that can end up in a very dangerous situation. I've seen a lot of people who have sort of performed, you know, very dangerous rituals, and literally within days afterwards, their whole, you know, their worlds are sort of falling apart, you know, divorces, you know, electronic equipment in the house just blowing out, poltergeist activity and ill health, and all of this kind of kicks off, you know, within days, you know, like a kind of just like a paranormal curse, so to speak.
With Nick, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracaster.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large
or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the 3-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, this is the Paracaster. Red Fern, Gene Red Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. I'm sorry about that. Nick, we had to stop you because we would be hung out to dry if we didn't have those ads. Let's go.
Oh, that's all right. I never sort of shy away from talking about all of this. Now, a lot of people who, you know, think I just write books on conspiracies or Bigfoot or aliens, a lot of people don't realize, you know, that I do a lot of research and activity, you know, in the field of magic. And by magic, I don't mean, you know, some guy in Vegas who pulls a, you know, a couple of cuddly rabbits out of a black hat. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, sort of extensive, complicated rituals as a means to achieve a goal, whatever that might be, your personal goal. And now some people just roll their eyes to this, you know, that there's nothing to this, it's just garbage. Well, I don't think it is, and I think I've done enough to demonstrate to me, at least, if not to everybody else out there, that you know, if you know what you're doing, you can achieve things. But also, if you're not careful, you know, you can find yourself in just in a very dangerous state. And I do believe that there is like a supernatural realm. You know, I mean, I often ponder on the possibility of the UFO phenomenon is not extraterrestrial, but is more, like John Keel said, sort of the ultra-terrestrials, you know, something that has been responsible and around us for thousands of years, and is, you know, the same phenomenon behind the UFO phenomenon is the same one behind, you know, supernatural entities, demons, you know, whatever you want to call them, you know, depending on your belief systems or whatever. But, you know, maybe it's all interconnected and there are ways to interact with these things if you know how to do it.
I think you're onto something there. Let's back up a little bit to the whole idea of magic. And if I'm reading you right there, what you're talking about is more like a sort of like a Wiccan neo-pagan type rituals, where,
well,
or are
well,
you talking
yeah.
about more occult? Or are they both kind of the same? Because I know what you're saying. Like, I'm not religious, but every once in a while I'll set this whole logical side of my mind aside, because you really have to do that if you're going to do these rituals. I think you'd probably agree with that. You can't think. You have to experience them, and you just have to follow through with them. And the moon seems to be a really big play a big part in these, at least for me. And I have to agree with you. If you do them, something will happen in some way, shape, form, or another. But I'm not sure that that's connected necessarily with UFOs. Going from that to UFOs, there's a big gap in there for me.
Well, one of the things I would say in relation to all that is that, I mean, if you look at, for example, psychedelics, particularly, for example, like DMT, you know, you've got a situation where the human mind can be altered radically. You know, many people, when it relates to DMT, you know, they have almost identical experiences very often with these sort of little humanoid type creatures. And I actually do believe that, particularly psychedelics, that when people, you know, see a doorway opens, a portal opens, whatever, they see this, they say that. I don't feel that they're actually just hallucinating. I think a lot of hallucinogenics actually allow us access to other realms of existence. Now, just because, you know, a lot of psychedelics are extremely provoking incredible imagery, I understand why some people may say, well, this is just, you know, this is just down to your mind just being blown out of, you know, its circuit, so to speak. But I don't think that is. I feel that psychedelics allow us access to certain realms that you would not see, or you would not feel open to, had you not sort of, you know, participated. And I think ancient man knew far more about all this than we do, you know, sort of communing and using psychedelics. And of course, you know, some people, you know, you talk about psychedelics and some people, you know, they get a really bad situation. Others get a really cool vibe. And that's because, you know, the particularly with like LSD, you know, you've got the famous angle of like sort of fight or flight versus, you know, are you prepared for something good or are you worried and scared it's going to go bad? Well, invariably, that's what happens. You know, it's kind of like, you know, be careful what you ask for because you're going to get it. You know, you're panicking about it. The trip's not going to go well. But for me, all of this, I think, you know, like for example, classic example, Crowley, you know, invoking Lamb. If you've seen pictures of Lamb, you know, Crowley's own drawings of this creature at Lamb, L-A-M. You look at it, it looks just like almost, you know, the creature on the front of Communion. And I think so many people in ufology would have better answers as to what they're doing by looking into the issues of psychedelics than routing around the National Archives for government files on MJ-12, you know?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. The thing about psychedelics is that does affect the mind. So what we're talking about is purely subjective. Now, if we could correlate somehow those subjective experiences with an objective reality, so say, for example, someone was able to do a psychedelic, have an experience, identify, say, a location where there's some artifact that could then be obtained and studied, then we'd have some real evidence that what you're saying is true. But in the meantime, we don't have any evidence that it's anything but what's going on inside the person's mind, regardless of how it makes the person feel and how real it seems to be to them. We seem to lack that kind of evidence.
Well, no, actually, you're right on that. You know, it's a lot of it is down to perception and how you you know, you see this or you see that, or you hear this or you hear that. And you're right that, I mean, when you're in that kind of state, no one can truly be sure as to what is something that may have been invoked, or you're seeing something that you're not able to see in the real world, but you can in that altered state, or it is just your brain going crazy for the period of the, you know, the relevant psychedelic lasts for. But again, I would sort of refer people to the fact that, and as I said earlier with DMT, you know, a lot of the experiences are near identical to each other. And I do find that to be intriguing. You know, if one person was seeing, you know, something that resembled Frankenstein's monster, and one was a little, like an alien grey, and another one was a flying wing creature or whatever, you know, the list goes on and on. But particularly with DMT, the similarities are extremely similar. Now, you could also make the case that, you know, we're all kind of primed the same, and perhaps it's just something that's in everybody's subconscious for the reasons we don't know. Or you could make the case that I think, which is the, you know, certain, you know, psychedelics can open doors to things that we don't see normally, and you are able to see them in certain circumstances, and that may open a door, if you like. And but, you know, I'm not someone who's sort of, you know, sort of banging the fist on the table saying, yes, it's this and no, it's not that. You know, I'm honest enough to say I don't have the answers. What I do have is a lot of intriguing data and memories, you know.
I think that's really interesting, actually, because, you know, like, when I pose that question, I think it's a legitimate question. It doesn't say that the experiences that people are having don't exist, or that they aren't profound in some way, or that they aren't necessarily seeing something that is real in an objective sense. I once saw a friend's aura. Up until then, I'd only heard about them. The skeptics will tell you that there's nothing really to that, and that the photographs have everything to do with physics and the way that the photographs are made. But I saw this plain as day.
Let's break it there. We're going to have another aura, an aura of commercials. Gene Randall, Nick, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.